Welcome. Good morning to all of you present here today, and also to those of you listening at home. It's wonderful that we're able to meet together in these ways. My name is Diane, and I'll be leading us through today's service. We'll also have Lynn reading our Bible passage, Fiona leading us in prayer, and our musical team today is Sam on keyboard, with Rosemary, Linda, and David, our song leaders. At Abbotsford Anglican, we are a group of local people of varying ages and many backgrounds who have come to find meaning and purpose for life by living God's way, according to his teaching in the Bible. We invite you to know God with us. A special welcome to our young people joining us at the start of church, who will head out shortly to Kids Church. We'll open with our first song of praise and worship to our God. Come, praise and glorify. Please stand. Would you like to share a little of the Bible lesson we're here today?
Oh, thanks, Diane. That's great. Well, we all today are going to be thinking about building our lives on what is wise and not on what is foolish, Diane. Last week we were remembered about how good it is to rejoice, to be found by God, and having been found by God, we're now understanding, we're moving forward and building our lives further from this. That's about building today, all right? Building on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us.
Thank you. Thank you. I look forward to hearing that. So let's start and I'll pray for us. Loving Father, we ask that you prepare all our hearts to hear clearly from you the teaching you want us to hear. Guide Trevor and the kids' church leaders to be able to teach truthfully to your word and clearly that we might understand. Amen. So as the young folk and their teachers leave, just share a brief blessing with those seated near you. Lovely. Now we're going to prepare ourselves as we draw near to God. We have come together to meet with God and to take our part in the building of his church. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed. Let us acknowledge our failure to serve him as he deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith, praying together. Heavenly Father, you have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have gone our own way and rejected your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for you and to please you in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. God therefore forgives you in Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. Heavenly Father, give us faith to receive your word, understanding to know what it means, and the will to put it into practice. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Lynn's going to come up now and share with us today's reading. If you want to follow it on in the Bible, feel free. It's there on the pews in front of you. You also have the words in your news and notes. There's an extra sheet there. Thanks.
The reading comes from Luke 6, verses 46 to 49. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. This is the word of the Lord.
At this point, we're going to stand and affirm our faith together. If you please stand. Jesus Christ, in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Please take a seat.
Well, once again, good morning, everyone. Welcome to church. It's good to see you, and especially those who are visiting us today or listening to us online. My name's Trevor Young. I'm the senior minister that's here. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we can come aside out of the busyness of a day, out of the busyness of a week, whatever might be occupying our thoughts or we might be worried about or concerned about, and we can come together as a family of believers in you and encourage one another. We thank you that you speak to us through your word, the Bible, and we thank you that your spirit that you've given to your people, the church, he will guide us as we read your word. He will remind us of things that we have learnt in the past, and he will remind us of things we have been given and can hold on to, and things that we need to do, things and promises that you have made about yourself. Loving Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. We look forward to fellowship afterwards over morning tea. But guide us now as we listen to your word, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as Diane said, you can follow along with me in your Bibles, in Luke chapter 6, or inside your handout that you received as you came into church today, you would have seen the reading that Lynn read out to us. Thanks, Lynn. It's great to have you back with us and reading the scriptures with us. It was great. I was a bit worried you're getting tripped over the cord here, so I'll fix that up next week. So we won't do that. Well, today's sermon's titled Wise or Foolish, and it's part of a little sermon series that we're doing on the stories that Jesus told in the Gospels. Last week, if you were here or listening in, you would have been reminded we learnt of the little story of the lost sheep, and it was one little story in the context of three that Jesus told. We concentrate being on the lost side of things. We focused on the being found last week and how wonderful it is to be found by God, isn't it? It is really, truly wonderful to be found by God. And if you're a Christian person, then you've been found by God. And God will not let you go. You're part of his wonderful, wonderful family. Well, today we're looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 46 to 49. And I'd like you to open up your Bibles or looking at the handout that's in front of you, that's there. Let me find my glasses. Now, if you've ever built a house or a builder by profession or bought a house for that matter, you will know how important it is that a house you build or that the house you buy has good foundations. Agree? Agree? Good. And a foundation, for that matter, that is built on rock, not just on any ground. The assurance of avoiding future problems with the house depends on how well, how solid and sound the foundations have been laid. A house with a broken or uneven foundation is sure to have sticking doors, and windows, and a leaky roof, uneven floorboards, and the future cracks in the wall. A house with a dodgy foundation, or worse still, none at all, is sure to cause a headache sooner or later. On the other hand, a house whose foundations have been laid well, solid, and sound on rock and not just on ground, but on rock, is sure to weather well in the present and the future. When the toast burns and the roast roasts too long, or it's a sticky, humid summer afternoon and the southerly blows up, the windows and doors can be flung open without any sticking. When the rain comes down, there is no need to open up an umbrella inside. When the floors are even, walking from the bedroom to the bathroom in the middle of the night won't feel like you're on a ship in heavy seas. And though you may have a few indoor plants inside, without cracks in the wall, you won't have the whole garden, all right? But seriously, a house built with a foundation, a good foundation, built on rock, will also prevent those who live in it from the danger of it collapsing on them. It's common sense, isn't it? And when Jesus told this story, the people listening in to Jesus, like ourselves, would have known it makes sense. This is common sense. And when Jesus told this story, a house whose foundations have been laid well, as he went on, solid and sound on rock, is sure to weather well in the present and the future. But Jesus wasn't doing a Scotty from the block, telling the blockheads how to build a house for some TV reality show. He was talking about wisdom and foolishness. That which is wise in God's eyes for the life that God has given to people. And that which is foolish for however long or short our life is, or however young or old we are when we actually hear it. When Jesus told this story, he was speaking to a crowd of both young and old. The story sits in a sermon Jesus gave in an open area, and the crowd was many. Luke's account is an abridged version that we have here of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Matthew's account is bigger and longer. In fact, those words in the sermon are the very last words Jesus spoke in his sermon. And I take it for that reason, he's summing up everything in a final illustration he'd hoped his hearers would go away remembering. And Luke and Matthew would want us to remember and be certain of. Jesus had been teaching about how to live. Certainly how a person who chooses to live life God's way according to the Bible will live. If you look there in the context, if you have your Bibles open there to the Luke reading, you'll see that Jesus has talked about love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Forgive, as and you will be forgiven. Rejoice always. Blessed are you. Great is your reward that's in heaven. A solid and sound foundation for life Jesus is actually giving. A sermon on how we are to live, how we build our lives, laying down a good foundation for life. Certainly, a sermon on how we as Christians are to live. Loving, forgiving, doing what is good, thinking about God, and looking forward to heaven. But the sermon is also about Jesus. The illustration is also about Jesus. The story Jesus tells here of the builders is also about Jesus. None of us perfectly love, and none of us always forgive. None of us always do good, and not every day do we think about God and heaven. And so there are days, if you look there, as Jesus says, we cry out to him, Lord, Lord, why is my life like this? We're saying. It's because we do not do all the time what God has told us to do. I suppose it's like how we go about using and fixing things around the house, or maybe how I go about using and fixing things around the house. We try to live life and fix it when it goes wrong without heeding our Maker's instructions. None of us perfectly love. None of us always forgive. None of us always do good. Not every day do we think about God and heaven. In fact, in the sermon that Matthew records here, the little bit extra he adds in there, he actually says that our righteousness, our being, doing all these things before God, must be greater than the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the standard to be holy as he is holy. Jesus is saying, be perfect. And you can hear the crowd saying, if I was in the crowd, I'd be saying, Jesus, who possibly can do that? No one of us can do it. None of us can. None of us perfectly love. None of us always forgive. None of us always do good. And not every day do we think about God and heaven. But Jesus did. And this is what Jesus is telling in his story. He did. His obedience was solid as a rock, unwavering, firm to the end. Loving, forgiving, doing what is good, God-honoring, looking forward to heaven. He did everything that was right for life. What was perfect for foundations for life. What was wise and not foolish. He is the righteous one. He is the one whose righteousness is above the teachers and the teachers of the law, who had come to fulfill the law and not abolish it. He is the one who always did what was right. He is the always right one. And do you know what's really good about Jesus telling us this little illustration and this little story? It's about us, and he's telling us to build our foundations, to do good, to love, to do all those foundation things, yes. But he's telling us, and why he left this little illustration to the end in his sermon so that we might remember and have it ringing in our ears, is that it's that Jesus is telling us that even though we can't be like him, the righteous one, by trying our best, he's willing to credit us with his righteousness. He is willing to be the rock upon which we can build our lives and stand. And having lived a life right and wise before God because of him. We who are Christians, who have put our faith in the person and work of Jesus on our behalf, as we read this story, we should be reminding ourselves that God has already done this for us. And on the cross, his blood shed has atoned, forgiven, has fixed us up with God. And what we've lacking is being, and what we've lacked to be able to do. We now stand before God, right before God, right with him, because Jesus is our rock upon which God's given foundations for life we build upon and live. And this can be true for you too if you're uncertain, if you're listening in or you're here present, or if this is yet to have been true for you. You too can let God do this for you. You too can stand on Jesus as your rock and be right with God. He can be and wants to be the rock on which you build the foundation of your life now and for eternity. But I take it Jesus also had a moment in the future in mind. And his story is meant to take on a sense of urgency as well. God has told us in the Bible, in Acts chapter 17, verse 31, and in many other places, that God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice, that means according to what is right and just, by the man he has appointed, and that man is Jesus Christ. How? He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. And in John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, very familiar verses, I believe, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. A day is coming, a torrent is coming, a storm is coming, a judgment day is coming when God will ask of us to give an account for what we have done with the rock, with Jesus. Have we stood upon the rock and built our lives upon it, trusting in Christ's righteousness and his blood alone for our being right with God? For that is why he sent him into the world, not to condemn us, but to save us. Or are we standing on the ground of our own making? A day is coming when God will judge all of us as to what we have done with Jesus. You matter to God. He became one of us in Jesus. He died on a cross and rose from the dead so that this would not happen, so that we would not be condemned and would not be lost, but that we would be saved. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, and do not do what I say? Jesus is asking us to do as he says, as he says. Let me pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, it's wisdom to live according to the Maker's instruction and foolishness to not do. You are our Maker. Upon the person and work of Jesus, your Son, his blood and righteousness, we, with your help, build our lives. He is our rock. He is our salvation upon which, by faith in, we stand. Grant us the grace daily to come to you, hear your words, and put them into practice. For our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And in his name we pray and joyfully build our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There may be some of you who are listening in today or at church here today who might like to talk further about this and make sure that you are right with God. Please come and see me afterwards. I'll be sitting just over this side of the pews over here. You can come and see me afterwards and I'll pray with you. Thanks, Diane.
So we've been reading some psalms at this point in the service and we will continue to do that today. We're looking at Psalm 1. And it basically points out what the choice of being wise or foolish can lead to. Join with me as we say this one together. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Our next song will also remind us of the strong foundation we have in Jesus, one of the old classics, this one, My Hope Is Built. So please stand and join us with this song, hymn. Sit. The Lord be with you.
And also with you, Father.
Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Fiona's now going to continue with prayer.
Awesome cosmic creator, how inadequately we understand you. Wonderful brother redeemer, how glibly we speak of you. Pervasive friend spirit, how shallowly we inhale you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. All things are filled with your inexplicable glory. Our loftiest creeds chart only a corner of your kingdom. Our noblest deeds explore only the fringes of your ways. All the books in all the theological libraries of the world are like the chatter of little children who have paddled in the shadows of the ocean. Yet we celebrate all we can know of you through the gift of Christ Jesus. He makes the difference between faith and fear, hope and despair, love and apathy, joy and angst, madness and praise. Through him, we offer you the best of our praise and the holiest of our deeds. Amen. Loving Father, thank you for Jessica, Shine, Oswin and Tamim, those who are our link missionaries in Thailand. We long, Lord, that they would have hearts that always praise and trust you, regardless of what is going on in their lives. We pray you would give them wisdom as they are leading people from varied countries. May they all work in unity. And we pray that in the midst of their busyness, they would have regular, precious time with you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you for our police chaplains. We pray that you would give them the ability to listen well, and may they have wisdom in how to support our police in difficult and trying circumstances. Please, Lord, help them manage well trauma, both theirs and others. And we long that police chaplains would have opportunities to share the living hope in Jesus winsomely and unashamedly. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we thank you for our local council and for our Mayor Angelo Sivekas. We pray that you would help all these councillors serve their people with integrity. Please help them discern where there's conflicts of interest and be transparent. And we pray that you would help our council make choices that are aligned with your perfect liberating laws. And pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, as the world grieves the loss of a very faithful, amazing queen, please help us, Lord, be thankful for her lifelong choice to serve others, not herself. Please help people be gentle with each other in this time of loss. And Father, we pray there are so many war-torn countries, many whom we don't even hear of. And we long that their leaders would strive for peace and real reconciliation. Lord, have mercy. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Loving Father, we pray for your church and give thanks for the recent Lambeth Conference. Thank you, that has been a great blessing and encouragement to many who were able to be there. We pray that your church universal would remain faithful to your teachings. Please help the church continue to be a voice of love, reason, and truth in a confused society that foolishly tries to shut you out. May the church seek to bring glory to God and keep encouraging each other to run the race in a way that honours God and builds up the body of Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most High God, the universe with all its myriad creatures is yours, made by your word, upheld by your power, governed by your will. But you are also the Father of mercies, the God of all grace, the bestower of all comfort, the protector of the saved. You have been mindful of us. You have visited us, preserved us, given us a goodly heritage, the Holy Scriptures, the joyful gospel, the Saviour of souls. We come to you in Jesus' name, make mention of his righteousness only, plead his obedience and sufferings, who magnified the law both in its precepts and penalty, and made it honourable. Thank you that we are justified by his blood, saved by his life, joined to his spirit. Let us take up our cross and follow him. May the agency of your grace prepare us for your dispensations. Make us willing that you should choose our inheritance and determine what we shall retain or lose, suffer or enjoy. If blessed with prosperity, may we be free from its snares and use, not abuse, its advantages. May we patiently and cheerfully submit to those whose afflictions which are necessary. When we are tempted to wander, hedge up our way. Excite in us an abhorrence of sin. Wean us from the present evil world. Assure us that we shall at last enter Emmanuel's land, where none is ever sick, none die, there is no crying or shame, and the sun will always shine, and we will always be with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We'll conclude with the set prayer of the day, where we pray for the strength of to God's will. Almighty and ever-living God, strengthen our faith, hope and love. May we do with loving hearts what you ask of us and enter more fully the life you promise. We ask this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Okay. We have a few announcements in the news and notes this week. One of those is that Synod continues this week on the 19th and 20th. And again, I thank Trevor and Linda for being our representatives there. I also thank you for considering the COVID-19 safety rules as we come through this period of our lives. And I thank you for the number of masks that I see and the distancing that people are practicing. And if you continue that in our morning tea time, would be wonderful. Lovely sunny day outside. I'm sure you'll be spreading yourselves around out there in the sunshine. We do have our offertory box at the back of the church. It's a black with lines on it. If you feel moved that way, but most people these days seem to be doing it on online, which is fantastic. But either way, we are grateful for your contributions. I'm just going to remind you today a sentence of scripture from Psalm 111. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. We're going to sing our final hymn, a reminder of where we should look for guidance each and every day. It's Be Thou My Vision. So if you'd like to stand. If there's anyone who would like to have some personal prayer after the service, then Dick and young Lan will be at the front, and feel free to come up and join them there to pray with you. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.